Philippians 2, verses 1 to 18. Let us hear God in his word. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. May God bless the public reading of his word. I'm going to turn over a few pages in the word of God to Timothy, 1 Timothy and chapter 3, and our text this morning and this evening will be 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy 3, 16. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. I wonder if you love a mystery, something that is fascinating and gripping, just asking to be solved. It might be a fictional mystery, it may be a historical mystery, it might even be a scientific mystery. The greatest and most intriguing of all mysteries have to do with God and with eternity, with the way that men and women, boys and girls like yourself and me, the way we relate to God. Questions that our hearts should yearn to know answers to. And our text tells us that Paul would say, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. When Paul uses the word mystery, he isn't talking about something that is unsolvable or the stuff that superstitions are made of. He's talking about things that God has revealed, which we would never have known about were it not for that wonderful, gracious revealing of them to us by God. Elsewhere, Paul speaks of mysteries. In Ephesians, he says, as he writes to them, I'm writing to you about the mystery that's been revealed to me, how the Gentiles are fellow heirs with the Jewish people. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." So a mystery is something that has been revealed to us. But although God has revealed these things to us, they still have a mystery to them. God has revealed enough to us for us to wonder at. But even as he's revealed things to us, we can still say that is absolutely wonderful. We have the mystery and we should say, wow. And there are six punchy statements in the text that are mysteries that God has revealed to us. Three of them we're going to look at this morning, one much more comprehensively than the others. That he, God, has been manifested in the flesh. Wow. Vindicated by the Spirit. We should be amazed at that. Seen by angels. So I want us to look at these things. And when Paul says, "Great is the mystery of godliness," he's not simply talking about the mystery of people being godly. He's talking about the truths that God has revealed to us that lie behind people becoming godly. The great truths that he's mentioned here. God manifest in the flesh. God vindicated by the Spirit and seen by angels. These are mysteries which do actually work for our godliness. They are mysteries that draw out our hearts in devotion and love to God. Great is the wonder of this mystery, this godliness, this devotion of the Christian faith. And so I want us to look at these three things. And if you are a Christian this morning already, and we look at them, I trust that it will stir your heart afresh in devotion toward God. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of our devotion to God, this godliness. And I trust you will be stirred in your heart, if you're already a Christian, onto deeper devotion. If you're not yet a Christian, let the light of these mysteries shine into your heart. Don't put any shutters up or any barriers to the reception of these truths. But open your heart to these wonderful things and embrace the mystery. So the first statement, he, the God to whom our hearts go out in devotion, was manifested in the flesh. Some people's gods are represented by wooden statues, and some people's gods are represented by bronze and things overlaid with gold. They're cold gods, lifeless gods. The invention of men. But the mystery is that our God is not a cold, lifeless, dead God. He has been manifested in the flesh, in the living person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your God like? And is your God a living God, a tender God, a God who comes amongst us to work with us and for us? The wonder of it. Great is the mystery of godliness. He, our God, was manifested in the flesh. He's revealed himself in living flesh. The living God in living flesh. John, as he opens his gospel, shares the wonder of it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then he says, this God, this creator God, this eternal God, the Word who was the second person of the Trinity, he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The wonder of it. Share the wonder that Mary must have felt when the Lord Jesus Christ was born and she held him in her arms for the first time. The angel Gabriel had come to her and told her that she would conceive in her womb and she would bring forth a son. She'd call his name Jesus. He will be the Son of the Highest. And as Mary knew about the mysteries of her conception, of this unique baby, think of what it must have been like when she held that baby for the first time. The wonder of it. This is God's Son in my arms. The mystery. He was manifested in the flesh. Think of John the Baptist. As he saw Jesus Christ, he was fully aware of Jesus' pre-existence. He says in John 1 verse 30, he ranks before me because he was before me. He's fully aware that Jesus is the Son of God. As he's baptized him and the Spirit has come down upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the heavens have opened and the voice has come, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. John is then able to bear witness. I bear witness. This is the Son of God. He was before me. He's come. He's the Son of God. He tells us later in John 3 verse 30, he who comes from above is above all. And he bears witness to the things that he has seen. So what is the God of Christianity like? Well, the God of Christianity is the God who is not detached and unfeeling. The God of the Christian faith is this God who has manifested himself in the flesh, who's thought upon you, he's thought upon me in our condition. We've just read from Philippians where Paul says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Don't look after your own interests. That's not what Christ did. Christ looked after the interests of others. And although he was in the form of God, he didn't think equality with God something to be grasped at and held on to at all costs. No, he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant, the human form. He didn't cease to be God. He added to his deity humbly human form. Great is the mystery of our faith. But why? Why was Jesus, why was God manifest in the flesh in the person of Jesus? Well, John tells us in his letter, the Apostle John, 1 John 3, verse 8. He says, for this reason, God appeared or was manifested. It was to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3, verse 5. You know that he appeared to take away sin. When our text tells us he was manifested in the flesh, it means more than simply that he was manifested in physical form. That's true, and that's a mystery. But the mystery and the wonder of it and the enormity of the love of God is manifest in this, that he didn't come and manifest himself in the flesh in the perfection of the Garden of Eden. But he came and manifested himself in the flesh in this world that is contaminated and at war with sin, in this world that is roamed by Satan and his evil followers, in this world that is visited with death again and again and again. In the flesh means also that in this world of sin and Satan and death. And why was this wonderful God, this creator, manifested in the flesh, in human form, in this arena of sin and Satan and death? It was that he might destroy the works of Satan. It was that he might bear away sin in order that he might destroy the power of death. Great is the mystery, we confess, of our religion, of our faith, of our devotion, the truths that lie as the foundation of the Christian faith. God, the living God, the tender-hearted God, was manifested in the frailty of humanity, in this arena to do battle with Satan and sin and death. And so, watch and wonder. Watch the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. God manifested in the flesh. And in the flesh, he hasn't eaten for 40 days. And the surge of hunger grips him, and he is desperately hungry. And Satan comes, in the full knowledge that this is God manifest in the flesh. This is God who is now hungry in a human form. And he says to the Lord Jesus Christ, since you are God, since you are the Son of God, since you have the power to command anything and it happens, then command these stones that it may be made bread. And the mystery, the wonder of it, although he is God manifest in the flesh, he doesn't use his deity to alleviate his own human suffering. He is here as a man to defeat Satan, to destroy the works of Satan, and to stand where the first Adam fell. And he answers Satan's temptation. Man does not live by bread alone. The wonder of it. God manifest in the flesh, doing battle with Satan in the flesh as a human being, and trusting his Father to provide for him and not using his own divine powers. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. Jesus has had an exhausting day teaching. He's spent a little time in Simon Peter's house and healed his mother. They look out of the window and see the crowds filling the hillsides. Demon-possessed people. People sick, crippled, blind, lame. Out Jesus goes onto the hillside in the evening and he heals and he casts out demons. He's exhausted by the exertions of his ministry. In the flesh, the frailty and tiredness overtake him. He tells his disciples to get into a boat to go to the other side. Before they've launched the boat from the beach, as it were, he's already asleep in the back of the boat. Our God manifested in the flesh, this tired, exhausted human being. Then out on the lake, our God manifested in the flesh. The disciples, terrified by the storm, believing they're going to drown, shaking the Lord Jesus Christ awake, don't you care that we're going to perish? And he stands up and he speaks to the wind, peace, and to the waves, be still. And the disciples are astonished. What kind of man is it who can command the winds and the waves to obey him? Because immediately there was a calm. Great, we confess. Great indeed, we confess. It's the mystery. Our God was manifested in the flesh. Hear him in the house where they've uncovered the roof and let down a man on this pallet, as it were. And he says, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. This is God manifest in the flesh. Who can forgive sins but God? But he is forgiving them. Everything you see Jesus do, it's what God, the Father, would do if he were here. Every word you hear Jesus say is what God, the Father, would say if he were here. Every determination that Jesus sets his heart and mind upon is what God, the Father, would set his heart and mind upon if he were here. Jesus is the perfect manifestation of God among men. Remember in the upper room, the Lord Jesus Christ said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But remember that he was manifested to bear away our sins. Great indeed is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, manifested to put away our sin. So now see him, the Lord Jesus Christ, bearing in his own body up to the tree sin. Not his own sin, but the sin of countless millions of others. See him as Isaiah 53 verse 6. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid upon his own son, manifest in the flesh, this human being, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he goes to Calvary, he is bearing the load of sin. He is wounded for our transgressions. He's crushed. He's punished. By his stripes we are healed. You see the Lord Jesus Christ bruised and beaten, allowing servants to slap him across the face. The mystery of it. This is our God manifested in the flesh, being beaten up by a bunch of students, servants, and then handed over to soldiers who scourge him and tear his back to pieces with the Roman scourge. Great is the mystery indeed. God manifest in the flesh. And yet he doesn't instantly end everything by breaking out and divinely consuming them. The mystery of it is he is bearing away our sins. That's why he was here, to defeat the works of Satan, to bear away our sins. It's a massive verse in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. For our sakes, the Father made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. And you can watch in the mystery, our God manifest in the flesh, disappearing into the darkness, as on Calvary the darkness descends. And the mystery, beyond all mysteries, that in that darkness, he experiences in his own humanity the penalty of God against our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The punishment that secures peace for us was endured by him in that darkness. The mystery of it, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh to defeat the works of Satan, to destroy them, to bear away our sins. And there he is on Calvary. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him. The text goes on very briefly. He is vindicated by the Spirit. Vindicated in the Spirit. There are two things to bring out briefly. One is the Holy Spirit is involved in the vindication of Jesus. He bears away our sin in his death upon the cross. The darkness is ended and the light begins to shine, and the God-man cries out in triumph over Satan, sin and death. It is finished. The last you see of him is in the flesh, in this world confronting sin and Satan and death, is he's laid in the tomb. But his victory on the cross is followed by his vindication by the Spirit. The Spirit raises him from the dead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all involved in the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, not only by the Spirit, but into the realm of the Spirit. The realm beyond the reach of Satan, sin, and death. Alive in the power of the Spirit in the kingdom of heaven. Paul tells us, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. And so Jesus is manifested in the flesh to confront Satan, sin and death. He's here in the flesh, in the weakness, exposed to these hostile forces. But then he's vindicated by the Spirit, raising him from the dead by the power of the Spirit, but also vindicated into the realm of the Spirit, beyond the reach of Satan, sin and death, alive to God in the kingdom of heaven, which is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. And the wonder of it, the Lord Jesus Christ is raised by the Spirit into this realm. And we are people who are to share in that glory of the vindicated Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing. He was delivered for our iniquities. He was raised for our justification. We can stand with Jesus beyond the reach of sin, beyond the and its condemning power, beyond the kingdom of Satan. We've been transferred from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his dear Son, beyond the grip of death. Whoever lives and believes in Jesus won't die. They share in this life of Jesus, beyond the grip of sin, beyond the clutches of Satan, beyond the power of the grave to hold us and keep us. He is risen. He's been vindicated by the Spirit into that eternal realm of the Spirit. He's taken his flesh with him. It's a physical resurrection, but he's no longer in the flesh in terms of in the flesh confronting Satan, sin and death. He is now in the realm of the Spirit, alive, as Paul tells us, to God. Likewise, Paul says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Alive in this new realm. And he was seen of angels. Angels were inquisitive about the resurrection. And they raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Or they were there at the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They were there at all the significant points in Jesus' life. And when he's exalted, he is seen by the angels. They see him ascend, up, up. The Father has given them a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And John, in his revelation in chapter 5, tells us, verse 11, then I looked and I heard around the throne the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. The angels, they've seen him. He was made for a little while lower than them. How they were amazed. And then they see him as a human being, God, man, raised above them, seen by angels and worshipped. The voice of many angels, myriads, myriads, thousands, thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Great indeed is the mystery of our faith. The wonder. God has revealed what he's like. A God compassionate to sinners struggling with sin, Satan and death. And he comes in person, taking human form to break the powers of sin, to bear away, break the power of Satan, to bear away sin by sacrificing himself, to defeat the power of death, so that we can share in the eternal glory with him. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's the revealed mystery. God has shown it to us. This is what he's like. This is what he's done. What he offers to each and every one of us is life in his Son. May we all believe the mystery, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon him and be saved. Amen.